KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 Tundra designed to combine performance and comfort with up to 437 horsepower and 10-speed automatic transmission. See your Toyota dealer, the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning, I'm Andrew Dyer, in for Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, June 4th. Union leaders are calling Friday's ICE raid at a South Park restaurant an attack on workers. More on that next, but first, the headlines. CBS News reports the Navy is considering renaming several ships that bear the names of civil rights icons, including Harvey Milk, Cesar Chavez, and Harriet Tubman. A memo used to brief the Secretary of the Navy on the plan says the changes realign the service with Trump administration priorities of, quote, reestablishing the warrior culture. The ships are non-combatant John Lewis-class replenishment oilers, designed to refuel and support combat ships and are crewed by civilians. They're all named after civil rights leaders and were built in San Diego. According to CBS, other ships being considered for renaming are the USNS Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Dolores Huerta, Lucy Stone, and Medgar Evers. The future USNS Thurgood Marshall, which is now under construction in San Diego, is also up for renaming. A new study from UC San Diego has found an invasive parasite present in more than 90% of San Diego's freshwater fish. Researchers examined 84 fish from popular fishing locations in San Diego County. 93% were found to be infected with a flatworm parasite, including largemouth bass and bluegill. The flatworm parasites can cause gastrointestinal problems if eaten. Fully cooking fish can prevent illness. Researchers say there have been no reports of infections in humans so far. The weather's heating up, which means the county has launched its annual Cool Zones program. Through October, the county will provide free access to air-conditioned shelter at more than 80 locations. Cool Zones can be found inside all the county's 33 public libraries. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
The fallout from the ICE raid on a South Park restaurant continues, with union leaders condemning the raid on Buena Forqueta as cruel and an attack on workers. The warrant justifying the raid was also unsealed. Reporter Alexander Nguyen has more.
Happy 40 workers!
Labor leaders held a rally Tuesday in front of the federal courthouse downtown to condemn the raid at Buena Forqueta last week.
A wave of terror has been unleashed by this administration.
They say what happened in South Park is reminiscent of a dictatorship. In the warrant released Monday, it says about 50% of the workers at the pizza restaurant used fraudulent IDs to obtain work. Bridget Browning with the San Diego and Imperial Counties Labor Council says that's no reason for the show of force Friday.
They handcuffed workers. They fired explosives near families, and they've left workers and families trembling. This is what happens when politicians treat human beings as if they're targets.
According to the warrant, Homeland Security received the initial tip in November 2020 about workers using fraudulent green cards. A follow-up tip came at the end of January this year. A DHS investigation in February showed that 19 workers submitted fraudulent green cards. That led to the raid Friday, resulting in the arrest of four workers. San Diego Council member Sean Elo Rivera says this is state-sponsored terrorism.
They sent masked, armed troops into a neighborhood with high-grade military weapons for fake papers? That is absolute and utter
Buena Forqueta says it is still reviewing the allegations stated in the warrant. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
The San Diego City Council has approved a package of parking reforms. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the price you pay at meters could fluctuate based on demand.
Studies show if parking meters are too cheap, they don't really do their job of managing parking demand and increasing turnover. If they're too expensive, they might sit empty. That's why San Diego just approved shifting to dynamic pricing. Premium parking spots during peak hours will be more expensive than spots with lower demand. Councilmember Raul Campillo said Monday, it's common sense efficiency.
I know that we're using data. to make the right determination on this. It's been collected in the study, and these will be analyzed at least quarterly to make sure that data is driving our decision about the pricing.
The council also ended a prohibition on charging for parking on Sundays and revamped the rules around creating residential parking permit zones. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Voting begins in the South Bay this week in the runoff election for San Diego County's District 1 supervisor. The race will decide whether Democrats or Republicans have a majority on the board. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki says the top two candidates have sharply different views on immigration policy.
Whoever wins the District 1 race will likely make some major decisions on immigration. The five-member Board of Supervisors votes on sanctuary policies and funding for the county's Immigrant Legal Defense Program, which provides free legal representation to people facing deportation in San Diego County. John McCann is a Republican and the mayor of Chula Vista. He opposes the county's current sanctuary policies and says he would look at cutting legal aid to reduce spending.
If, again, we need to look at cutting, that might be somewhere we would have to. I believe that we should be supporting the citizens first over people who are not citizens.
Running against McCann is Paloma Aguirre, a Democrat and the mayor of Imperial Beach. She says the sheriff should have had more input on the county's sanctuary policies, but she strongly supports funding for legal aid.
We're seeing even citizens being deported. At one point, where does that stop? If we don't have the legal representation, what if somebody doesn't have the resources to pay for a lawyer, for example?
If you live in District 1, the last day to cast your ballot is July 1st. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
It's no newsflash that Americans don't trust the media. At 31%, it hasn't been that low in five decades. Nor is it shocking that there's a straight line between the type of media Americans consume and their viewpoints. John Carroll spoke with Public Matters reporter Amitha Sharma about where we are with the news.
So, Amitha, break it down for us. How are Americans consuming news, and what are they consuming?
Well, John, a majority, 57%, most of the time get news from a device, a smartphone, a computer, a tablet. And 29% of them go to actual news websites, followed by social media, where the most popular platforms are Facebook, YouTube, then Instagram, and they tend to be younger. I spoke with a woman by the name of Lisa Shearer of the Pew Research Center, which produced the data. She says it's common for people getting their news through social media to do so by chance.
It can be a very kind of accidental news experience as opposed to turning on the evening news or opening up a newspaper or even going to a news website. We find in a lot of our research that people say things like, I just come across news, I don't seek it.
And John, back to how people get their information, about a third of Americans often turn to TV for that news, fewer still to radio and print.
So what are people consuming on these platforms, and how does their news intake shape their views?
The New York Times has the highest number of subscribers at 10.8 million, followed by Substack, The Wall Street Journal, and The Washington Post. Fox News remains the most popular cable news channel, then MSNBC, with CNN in third. A poll just came out from the data firm YouGov reaffirming what most of us already know, and that is that Democrats are much more likely to believe the news than Republicans. But Republicans' faith in the news is growing. It grew by 7% from last year. Democrats trust PBS, the BBC, and NBC the most. Republicans, Fox News, Fox Business Channel, and Newsmax. I spoke with two local voters whose news habits actually match the poll. Here's Republican voter Liliana Armenta.
When I have the TV on at home, usually it's on Fox News. And then I do follow Fox News online. I follow Real America's Voices. I follow Newsmax. And I like to listen to podcasts, so I follow Rumble a lot.
Independent voter Mary Jo Petrovelli, who leans Democratic, reads the New York Times, the Washington Post, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Diego Union-Tribune daily. She watches NBC Nightly News and CNN.
I also subscribe to Voice of San Diego and Axios locally and read their morning reports. I subscribe to The Bulwark, and my radio is, not to plug you all or anything, but my radio is like permanently set it to KPBS.
And John, I did ask Dean Nelson, the director of the journalism program at Point Loma Nazarene University, to weigh in on the news and where we are with it. He says, look, it's crucial for a society to agree on a common set of facts and for people to view the news with deep curiosity.
You're on a quest. You're trying to find something. But if you live in a world of statements where this is the beginning, this is the end, then the root of the word statement is state. You're in a state and you're not in any kind of motion.
And John, Nelson also advocates for people to really just consume the news with a dose of skepticism.
But that takes an active participatory action on the part of the consumer to maybe say, I wonder if that's true. And so then I'll maybe check another source or wait a day.
And one final note, John. Both Republicans and Democrats hold about the same level of trust in financial news sources such as Forbes or The Economist, but the most trusted news source in America is the Weather Channel.
The good old Weather Channel.
The good old Weather Channel.
Fascinating. Not entirely surprising, but really fascinating. Amitha, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
That was reporter Amitha Sharma speaking with John Carroll. A North County coffee shop has something new brewing with the help of a Grammy Award-winning musician. Reporter Jacob Ayer says a financial investment and a return to 90s coffeehouse culture are creating a community hub for the arts in Oceanside.
Oceanside resident and Grammy Award-winning musician Jason Mraz has been a regular at Jitter's Coffee Pub for decades. He's also performed there.
It's what I remember coffee shops being, and it was an all-ages place. And they were listening rooms to let the community share.
Now he's partnered with the owners to reopen the renovated space with a new menu and nighttime entertainment. They've even built a stage for musicians, comedians, and other artists to put on a show. Before Mraz's investment, Jitter's owners were considering closing due to rising costs. The official grand reopening takes place on July 12th with an all-day event in the cafe's parking lot, marking the beginning of weekly arts and music performances. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Andrew Dyer, in for Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Wednesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Maracal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Maracal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.